You're the big, big boss. You tell me what to do, and I gladly do my job. But I don't like your attitude.
Hello, and welcome to the Leadership in Tech podcast series. This is Paul Maslany bringing you our 23rd episode, providing proper guidelines and enforcing accountability. Today, Errol and Zach review the results of his leadership survey conducted on his team. They discuss several things that came up, as well as discussing his two major points that he needs to work on, which are providing better guidelines, as well as holding others accountable properly. This is the second episode on Zach's leadership improvement journey. We hope you enjoy this episode, and don't forget that you can learn more about the podcast, as well as its parent project, the Technology OnRamp, at www.techonramp.com. You can also sign up for our Leadership in Tech newsletter here, where you can see episode reviews, as well as upcoming guests, content, and other professional development resources. You can also find out about Zach and his tech company, Salt, at www.salt.io. Also check out our other host, Errol, and his leadership development firm, Leader193. Go to www.leader193.com. Stick around after the main segment to get more links and hear news and more. Thank you and enjoy the show.
Now tell me, who do you think you are? Besides the person who happens to be in charge.
All right, so we got a big week ahead of us because, well, last week was a big week with the leadership training stuff. And I think I have some stuff I'm supposed to do today.
Yes, you do. You do. So let's go ahead and recap for the audience, right? We said we were going to give them periodic updates. We went through the 360 degree assessment for your people who work for you and the behavioral interviews. And then we decided on one or two behaviors that we were going to work on.
Out of many possible behaviors that qualified.
Well, you know, yes and no. I mean, so you, just to give everybody background, you scored incredibly high on everything, right? So what we had to do for you was, what were the lowest of the high scores? And what we came up with, it was really interesting. That's why this process is really a lot of fun. Because one of our two areas for improvement is to improve the manner in which you hold other people accountable. And what's funny is, on the 360 degree survey, you scored a 5 out of 5 of holding people accountable.
But did I score myself that high as well? There is a difference between self-assessment versus others.
Yeah, your self-assessment, you were hard on yourself, and that's fine. But, you know, we look for gaps, and there wasn't a place where you thought you were great and everybody thought you were terrible. It was more you thought you were terrible at something and everybody thought you were good. So we focused a little bit on that, but that was more just for you to see, you know, hey, whatever this one thing is, you know, try not to sweat it. You're doing fine. The perception is you're doing great. So maybe you've got a little insecurity. What was interesting was what people who took the survey, right, we'll call them all others, they had you a 5 out of 5 on accountability. But when we did the interviews, there was a problem with how we were being held accountable. And the accountability came more at the 11th hour fire drill. And they didn't love that. So, right, that's, so if you just go by the numbers on these 360 assessments, yeah, you hold people accountable, but now let's talk about how you do it. So that's one of the, you know, that's one of the things that we're going to work on. Then the other one was establishing clear guidelines and vision. And that's just a kind of a bigger communication thing. And that came to light. There's a portion of the 360 assessment that says, on customer service, you know, value customer service. And you scored, again, among the high scores that you got, that was one of your lowest scores. Yet, for the SALT mantra is, what do you call it? Radical customer satisfaction.
Yeah, fanatical support.
Fanatical support. So the idea that the people who are working for you on a project don't have that same perception of what's important to you. And meanwhile, that's all you focus on, right? There's a gap in you communicating that vision of what's important for you.
And that's because the assessment came back and some people said customer support's not important to me, or I didn't get a 5 out of 5. Yeah. On that.
Yeah, you scored one of the low. Yeah, that was one of your lower scores. Again, a high score relative, but
that's fascinating to me. So if that's the number one thing I believe in life, and then the scores come back, one of my lower scores was that I care about customer support. That's like a clear indicator that whatever vision I have in my head is not, I'm not communicating it.
100%. So what we did next was we had what's called the stakeholder briefing. And basically, you know, the stakeholders now are the people who are going to be involved in this cycle. And so as you and I discussed what was going to happen, we told them the areas that we were going to work on and what would happen. You would call, you know, you would contact them at the beginning of the month and say, you know, here are the two areas that I'm working on. Can you give me one or two suggestions? You're going to listen to their suggestions. You're going to thank them. You're going to think about it. Me and you are going to put together an action plan for the month. You're going to give them the action plan. It's totally transparent, right? They're going to know exactly what you're going to work on. You're going to execute it. And at the end of the month, we're going to go through it again. You're going to say, how did I do? How can I do better going forward? So the reason this process is so amazing is because one of the things that we found out from one of your stakeholders was, hey, well, I get feedback too, because feedback is really, really important to me. Well, you just learned something amazing about one of the people who works for you, that they really need feedback for whatever reason, and it doesn't matter why. And so we were able to explain, obviously, that through the things that you're going to work on, that feedback is going to come naturally. But I mean, I don't know if you picked up on how amazing that was, that I don't know if you knew that about that employee, that they needed that feedback or valued it enough to jump in and go, this is a great process and I'm happy to be part of it for Zach, but do I get feedback too?
Yeah, no, that's super cool. I did know that that person does appreciate feedback, and I do know that I'm delinquent in giving feedback. Sometimes when you're running a team of freelancers, people are popping on and off projects, and so you don't necessarily feel that sort of mentoring connection. It's more of a peers, and I scored very highly in treating my team as partners, because that's how I feel about it. But I think you can almost go too far in my treating my team as partners when I get to such a point that I don't provide any mentoring or feedback whatsoever, because they're just a pure partner. So there's a balance there that I'm clearly not quite hitting.
Yeah, and it's a huge balance, because in the end, you're still overall responsible. This project is still under the SALT banner. And, you know, the idea to say, look, this is what's important to me, right? This is my name, this is my company on it, and this is how I want the company to be portrayed, and this is how I want us to do business, because I feel like this is an important thing. Look, as freelancers, they could go to somebody else and have it be completely different. It doesn't matter. What matters is what works in the context of Zach, Ruiz, and SALT. Right. And they'll appreciate that. They'll appreciate it. Like, great. Especially a freelancer. Like, I work for everybody and I never know what anybody wants. But when I'm with Zach, I get very clear guidelines. Right. I know what's important to him. Great. I can focus on that. I think that's what we're going to find.
It's all such a balance, right? I mean, that's why I think this process is going to be so valuable. Because things are never quite, I mean, in my mind, they're never quite as bad as you think they are. They're never quite as good as you think they are. But are you sort of hitting that balance on all of these different areas?
And it's just going to be, for the record, for folks listening, you know, Zach and I started this process with him. You know, these are the things that we identified before we went through the formal 360 assessment behavioral interviews.
You called what my low score was going to be before the assessments came back. Because you said it's probably going to come back guidelines and accountability, and it came back guidelines. Now, unless this is some sort of trick or something and you're a magician, you called it and the assessment said what you called.
Yeah, because it wasn't, it really, you know, as we talked about the challenges you had in your previous job managing, you know, it wasn't rocket science, you know, and again, more people should have your problem about giving more freedom, right? But this is a great example of, yes, we give people freedom guideline. And this is, you know, we talked about this with the stakeholders. Guidelines and accountability can sound very militaristic. Like, oh, great, he's going to put guidelines.
Well, let's talk about them for a second, because I know guidelines sort of make sense, but I do get, when I tell people about accountability, they do wonder, what is accountability in a business professional setting?
Well, so what you said was, you know, because it was on you to put the language together on exactly, because it needs to be yours, right? This is what I want to get better at based on all this feedback that I've gotten. And it was improving the manner in which you hold others accountable. So what does that mean, right? You have a project for people and it needs to get done, and it needs to get done properly at a reasonable time. Now, we've talked about setting deadlines and things like that and how sometimes you don't, but in the end, if a project comes back to you, even in your mind, taking twice as long as it would take and is only a half as good that an acceptable level is, okay, something needs to change. So that person needs to be held accountable for their performance.
That's where it gets interesting, because this is what's so fascinating to me is, like, okay, that the project came back twice as long, half as good, five different excuses. What are you supposed to do?
Right. All your fault.
And all my fault.
Because it goes back to, great, and all your fault if that happens, because we know that in those circumstances, did you give people guidelines? Did you say, look, here's when I expect it to be done? And now, you know, right, your argument was always, that's not how it works in tech. Okay, but this whole podcast is built on a dearth in leadership and technology. Okay, so we've got to start breaking some molds here. So let's just talk about what a little bit of accountability means and the manner in which you do it. Okay, you've got to, first of all, be able to identify, and that's why communication is important with your people. Identify who needs more direction than others. Okay, and that can be hit or miss sometimes, and that's fine, that's fair. And we've established that. So let's just go to the person who might need a little more help. Okay. Accountability could look something like, here's the project. Okay. Now, Zach, in your mind, you've got to know how it looks and when you would want it done as it fits into the bigger picture. So, you know, set this guideline. I would like this done by next week at this time.
That's not a guideline. That's like a deadline.
Okay, you know, with semantics, I would say, because a guideline and a deadline, I think, would fall into those guidelines. Like, these things need to be done in a certain period of time.
Right.
Okay. Well, you know, we can argue over the language, but it's still direction.
Okay.
Okay. And so holding the manner in which you hold somebody accountable who needs a little more help might mean a daily check-in. Simply, how is the project going? Project's going great, Zach. Great, wonderful. Any hiccups so far? Can you tell me just a little bit about it? Where are you? Just so I know. Blah, blah, blah. And it goes on. So maybe it's that daily check-in. And then at the end of the week, okay, if that project is not done on time and how you expect it to be done, then we've got another problem. Then we've got an ethics problem, okay? Because
ethics?
You're checking. Yeah, because if you're checking it every day, and saying, how's the project going? Can you give me an update? I'd like to hear, how'd you do that? Let's have a conversation. That's a form of accountability, okay? And it's a passive form of accountability, which is good, okay? Because you're not micromanaging, because you are the boss. You're in charge of things. You're micro-knowledging. I need to know what's happening. I don't need to know how you're doing it. If you want to talk about how you're doing it, that's great. I can do that. We can talk about details, but I'm not telling you exactly how to do it. So if at the end, if you're doing a daily check-in because you feel like that's the best way to hold somebody accountable and you do it in a good, positive way, and at the end of that week, the project is not even close to done, or if it's done in a way that was not described to you during the course of that daily check-in, that means somebody wasn't being honest with you. And you've got a whole new leadership challenge. Okay, but if that accountability is happening properly, again, in this example, just a check-in every day. Tell me how it's going, blah, blah, blah. Any problems? What can I help you with? You're going to find that at the end of that week, it got completed. Okay? Now, again, now it goes to somebody listening might go, oh, so micromanage. No. As the boss, it is not only your right, it is your duty and obligation to know what's happening. Okay? Because if on the sixth day of that week, this is the first time you're hearing about a massive problem.
Right.
Okay. That is going to take all your resources to fix. That is your fault. You have to know what's happening.
No, I'm guilty of that. That goes with the giving people too much freedom, right? You give them enough freedom to hang themselves. Then you walk back 10 days later and they're literally hanging from a noose and you're like, huh.
How did that happen?
I did that because I like abandoned them for 10 days.
Right.
So it's definitely like, I see the balance that you're talking about in every way.
Yeah, you know, look, and you're going to have people as well who you always have your superstars, right? Who just all they need is a direction and a mission. You know, complete this task and I need it done by Friday. Great. And you can only do that by staying engaged with people. You only know that by staying engaged. So even if that person is you know, they used to say in the military, a fire and forget missile, right? You know, give Errol a job, just let him do it and he'll get it done. The best leader will find that out slowly, right? He'll check in, you know, he or she will check in with you, get a feel for what you're about. Then they might say, you know what, I'm not going to bother you, but I do need to know what's happening. Just check in with me once a day. Let me know you're good, whatever it is. So those people just get handled differently, and that's the beauty of leadership. So how you hold people accountable is what you need to work on, because people need to be held accountable sometimes in different ways. But everybody needs to be held accountable for their work.
Yeah, like, so I always say, like, and we probably talked about this in one of the earliest podcasts, the thing that's slightly different with the kind of projects I work on is there's a lot less to see, right? Like, if someone's mowing my lawn and it's a two-day job and I check in after day one, and well, I don't know why it would take 2 days to mow my tiny lawn, but you know what I mean? I check in after 1 day and the lawn's not halfway mowed, right? It's only a tenth mowed. I can see it with my own eyes. They did not mow half my lawn in half the time. It's like a very clear communication of where the project is, right? I can physically see less than half the work is done in half the time. And in some of the more complex tech projects, you can't see it with your own eyes. Like you can't see, there's nothing to visually show you. It's a lot of just sort of, it's a lot of communication. It's a lot of sort of estimation. The code is 50% done, where 50% and done are both relative and subjective. And so right. It just puts a much higher bar on the communication itself for a team of people who all admittedly strengths are not communication, right? Maybe I'm shy. This person's, doesn't like authority, that person, whatever. And so you have such a higher bar of communication with people that don't like communication as much. And so it's murky waters.
Yeah, it is. But again, that let's just break it down to the essence of what we're doing. We're picking one or two behaviors that we want to improve on. And again, it's not on your team to improve on that. You will naturally improve on these things if the leader, you.
No, it's for me. Right.
Yeah. We like to go back to some old SEAL or FBI examples just to kind of give a different perspective, right? So, you know, when we had an operation and we would be in our two small Zodiac boats, right? Well, the planning phase, you know, I needed to know not only who was in each boat, but where they were sitting and what gear was in that boat. Okay. Now somebody again might say, well, you're just micromanaging, let people do their job. No, I'm not micromanaging. I didn't tell somebody where to tell everybody to sit or what gear to put in the boat, you know, which gear is in which boat. I just needed to know that because if one boat goes down, one boat conks out, I can say, which boat was that? If I'm at a command center somewhere, not on the actual mission, and somebody say boat one down, And I know in my mind, great, I know exactly who's on boat one. I know what gear is in boat one. And I know now going on with that mission, what I have and what I don't have. That's not micromanagement. That's micro-knowledging as a leader. I have to know those things. That's where people who don't like accountability confuse micromanagement and just the boss needing to know what's happening so he or she can make big decisions right away without going, you know, my example, well, oh my God, who's left and what do we have? You know, like, oh, I already know that. So we're not wasting time, you know, recapturing what I'm supposed to already know. But the same holds true for your...
Yeah. The other side of that, though, that example brings up a good point. The other side of it, though, is that's on me is if you have two boats, right? Because that seems like the size of my team, right? My team's small. And I maintained earlier that the reason why I got such high marks on this assessment is because the team is so small and it's relatively new. If you would have done some of my past teams, I'm sure it could have been a bloodbath. And so, so these two boats seem like my team, a tiny team of two boats. I need to make sure that I'm not asking them to attack the west shoreline of France, right? Like, are we even asking them to do something by Friday that's capable of being done by Friday, right? That goes back to the episode where we mm-hmm. talked about, is everybody a swimmer swimming in the same waters as I am, or do they all work to their level of capability like we talked about with James? And then is the overall mission even accomplishable with these two boats, or are we trying to do something that you really need a destroyer and air support for? And so we're almost riding into what's that movie? You know what I mean?
No.
Maybe like every...
Which movie?
Mission Impossible. How about that?
Oh, right. Okay. Well, look, but that goes to the other behavior that we're going to work on, establish clear guidelines and vision. When you let people know what the bigger picture is, okay, that gives them context to what they're doing. And people may say, oh, I don't care. Just let me do my job and I don't care, but that's above my pay grade. You know, it just drives me nuts when I hear that nonsense, because it's not. Because if we're all working on the same project, everybody needs to know what the overall picture is. So if for no other reason, they can communicate and give an opinion and say, hey, just what you said, that can't be done. We don't have the resources to do that. My part of that won't help this. You know, whatever. It spurs conversation. It gives people ownership of what's happening, and it gives them context. I mean, if you ever just did something in a bubble, eventually people are going to, I'd be like, I don't even understand why I'm doing this. This is so stupid. But in your mind, Zach, as you give people projects, you know the importance of it. Well, why shouldn't the person who's doing it know the importance of it? There's a great story in the book Extreme Ownership that the Two Seals wrote that covers this. And it is a fantastic story. You know, the main guy was talking about how some of his subordinates were griping about the missions they were going on because they had done so many of them and they lost context of why it was important. Why are we risking ourselves to hold this ground or to take this building? And it wasn't until he showed everybody the map of the area that they were in Iraq before they got there and when they left, the territory that was controlled by the enemy, and then by the time they left, the territory that was controlled by the United States and its allies. And he showed this to his guys. And even after the fact, it inspired them, right? They got to look back and go, oh, that's why it was important. So his lesson was people need to have the bigger context. I've run into that a lot with FBI missions, right? Because everybody, you ask for help on certain things. Generally speaking, you have one or two people working on a case. And then sometimes you're doing an operation where you have to bring people in, and you know, I would start to go over the bigger picture, and people would say, no, I don't care about that. I'm like, well, that's not how I operate, because you know why we're doing it and what we're doing. And I'm sorry this is going to take an extra 10 minutes, but I'm going to count on you to make decisions in the field, and you can't make the proper decision unless you know what the bigger picture is. I always felt like it was some kind of cool person thing to say, like, I don't care, just give me my part of it and I'll go. It's BS, because eventually people are not going to enjoy working in a bubble, and they want to know why what they're doing matters. And I think that that's going to go to a little bit about what we're talking about with the behaviors that you're going to work on. So, what do you think?
So guidelines and accountability go hand in hand. You called it. The assessment backed it up. So now it's go time.
So next we're going to go through. You're going to hear from your folks. They're going to give you one or two recommendations. And then
at the end of the month, we'll probably come.
Well, no, we go over, we make the action plans. We might have literally 5 or 10 specific things that you're going to do every month to make sure that you are establishing clear guidelines and that you're improving the way you hold people accountable. So it's, it's for you and me, it's going to be a long checklist or you. But then again, you're going to tell everybody what you're going to do. It's totally transparent. There's no secrets here.
Sounds like a plan.
Thanks again for listening and for joining us on the second part of Zach's Leadership Development Quest. If you'd like to learn more about this podcast, the Leadership in Tech series, then go to the official website for the podcast and its parent project, the Technology OnRamp, at www.techonramp.com. On our website, you can also sign up for our weekly newsletter, which will deliver all your news, reviews, announcement previews, rumors, and additional content every week after the show airs. You can see Zach's company, Salt, at www.salt.io, as well as Errol's company, Leader193, at www.leader193.com. And you can find out more about Zach Ruiz, Errol Dobler, myself, Paul Maslany, and any guests on www.poddb.me. That's a database not just about the shows, but about the people on and behind the shows. You can find our show on SoundCloud, iTunes, Google Play, Player FM, Pocket Casts, and Stitcher. Thank you, and see you next week.
Tell me what to do, and I'd gladly do my job, but I don't like your attitude. I don't like your attitude.